It is so good to be in the house of the Lord today, to let God bless us. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. Also, turn to Luke chapter 4 while you've got your Bible open. We're going to believe God to touch and minister to us today in a very powerful way. I want to talk to you this morning about the process. You know, you hear a lot of talk about the process. You know, everything you do, there is a process to it. You know, I've learned in living for God, I need to be balanced. Revelation chapter 4, verse 7, and the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a cat, the third beast had a face like a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. Now, if I look at that, I understand that every one of those things in those beasts represents a phase of me. I need to be like a lion sometime. Hello? Amen. Then I need to also understand I need to be sacrificed. Then I also understand that I need to just be a man. There are some things I need to do just because of who I am. Hello? Amen. Some pastors never figured that out. That's why their family ain't in church. Some evangelists never figured that out. I spent 35 years on the road, but my kids knew who their dad was because most mornings they got up, I was home. Somebody said, well, why'd you do that? Because I wanted my kids to know who their dad was. I knew too many kids whose dad were evangelists that only seen them every once in a while when they were home, and I wanted to make sure I was at the house every night when my car shut off. And so I drove thousands of miles just so I could be a dad. Hello? Why? Because I've got to be a man. But I also have to understand there are times when I got to mount up with the wings as an eagle, and I got to understand how to wrap myself in God and let God just begin to use me, and that brings balance in my life. Amen. But I want us to understand some things today in the process, and I want to read to you out of Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. And then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, the voice of the heavens saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Luke chapter 4 is just a continuation of the story. In verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, shewed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. And the devil said to him, all this power I will give thee, and glory of them, for this is delivered unto me, and whosoever I will give it. For if thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thy time by dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the regions about. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us, Lord, and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand. Look him right now and say, hey, if you wasn't here, I'd be the best looking person here. Glory. Glory. Amen. Some of y'all missed that opportunity. Glory. You may have been honest, though. Amen. I believe we go through a process. You know, I'm not, because I got saved, it's not a finished work. Amen. Because I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost is not a finished work. We've got too many people that said, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to heaven. And they feel like they graduated, and therefore there's no process happening in their life. And so they basically have stood still all these years bragging about what they had. And the reality is they've been passed by. Amen. I remember in the early dealings with the church, I'd go to church and they'd have testimony service, and there'd be people jump up and say, y'all, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, on my way to heaven, and I ain't got them desires I used to have. And I'm on the back row going, because I still had them. Don't look at me like some of y'all look at me like, well, I don't. Liar. You in the flesh, ain't you? Then you're going to fight the flesh, because as long as you're in the flesh, you're going to deal with it. And if you don't realize that, you need to look in the mirror. If you don't see nothing but a glow, you okay. Hello? And then one night, Sister Dale jumped up. She said, y'all pray for me. The devil's been attempting me. And she's 95 years old, a charter member of that church. I like to shout it. Glory. Because I realized I ain't the only one. I finally got an honest person in this building. Glory. She started out of church. I shook her hand. I said, Sister Dale, what the devil tempt you with? She said, I ain't telling you. She said, because he's listening. He'll know what's going on. He'll make it worse. Now, that made sense to me. I had a guy tell me one time, said, I don't know how the devil knows when I'm having trouble. It's simple. Everybody, you pass. How you doing? Well, my back's killing me. My legs are hurting. And you're trying to figure it out. He just listens. But the reality is the process we go through is continual. If you were here the other night, you'll find out that the real redemption of our lives will not actually take place till we're in glory. And that's when we can say, I am truly saved, because I don't have to worry about anything else, because I have heard him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. But while I'm here, I'm going through a process. Listen to what Paul tells the church in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But we all, with open face, beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord. You know what he said? He said, I'm looking in a mirror, but what I see is a refraction of God. And the more I get in that mirror, the more I'm transformed into him. And that's what it's all about. I want to become like him. I want to be able to say, as Paul, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth within me, and the life I live through him. Could you say amen? Proverbs chapter 4. But the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You know what it said? It said, the longer I live for him, the more I read the word, the more I get deeper in God, the brighter the light gets on my path until I make that day of perfection. Amen. When's that going to come? When I'm on the other side. Hello? I will never be perfect in this world, but I can make it. There's a process we got to go through to become a child of God that God wants us to be. This is not just an event. Amen. Somebody said, what are you talking about? We have events all the time. When I got saved, that was an event. Glory. Oh, it's awesome. I remember, I'll never shout. I can tell you, the time I lifted my eyes up in the altar, it was 9 o'clock, February the 3rd, 1974. I came out of that place. You say, well, that's nothing unusual. It is. Can you consider the condition I was in when I went in that church? I didn't even know the clock was on the wall, much less could read it. And all of a sudden at 9 o'clock, my brain is cleared. I'm looking at a clock and I'm reading it, and I know what time it is. And I will never forget that moment. That was an event that changed my life forever. But it did not complete the cycle. I remember the night I got sanctified. Hi, Lord, if you've never been in a church of God and you go to a church of God and you try to get involved, you can get your eyes open quick. My first experience was the fact I'd never had anybody pray for me but a preacher. I'd go down and shake the hand, and they'd pray with me and say, you're good. And I'd leave and go back and get worse. And finally, I go to Church of God, and the guy gives an altar call, and every person in the building decided they just had to go to the altar. And they're all looking at me, because everybody in the building but the pastor knew who I was, and they knew I didn't belong there. Come on, church. I mean, it was pretty obvious if you looked at me. I mean, I did have long hair like most of the ladies. but I didn't have the butchie boys of most of the guys. Glory. You know, and this hippie sitting in the back there that his brain's ripped out on drugs and alcohol. I'm sitting back there, and that guy says, I want everybody to come to altar. And they all went, and I'm going, wow. Of course, that's my favorite word before I got saved. Glory. I could actually say it both ways. I go to the altar and I'm thinking, well, I'll run up there, nobody will know it. And see, I actually helped work on that building even though I wasn't a Christian. I helped them when they were constructing the building, and I knew that if I laid right down at that altar, I could shoot out that side door and get out the building before anybody ever knew I was there, because the preacher's on the other side of the building. I had no clue that when my knee hit the floor, they was going, 50 people from that church don't need no preacher. They just get around, ah, God. I was praying for safety more than anything else. But I got saved. God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Man, that was another event. I got to shout, and they said, you sanctified. I said, I got it back. Then they said, you need the Holy Ghost. I said, what's that? No, boy, I don't know, but you need it. I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost to Cody Church of God. Amen. Those of you where that's at, it's outside Fayette in the Belk community. Actually, it's not even in Belk. It's on a back road that goes out of Belk. Glory. Y'all had a pastor come here one time from Cody. He made it a year, but I think it's because he went from Cody to here. And when you go from the sticks to the city, it's hard to make a transition. Hello? But I remember going to the Cody Church of God. God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And you know, I could take you to the very spot I was standing in that church when God filled me with the Holy Ghost. I'll never forget, I got sent on a properties committee to the Cody Church of God in March. And I was out there. Brother Barnes was with me at that particular meeting. We were together on a properties committee. And I got out there, and they go in the back of the building. They're back there talking. All of a sudden, guy come back in. He says, hey, we got some coffee and stuff back here in the fellowship house. I'll be back in a minute. A few minutes, one of the guys come out and he says, is there a problem? I said, why? He said, well, you're out here crying. I said, well, you got to understand. Standing right here, 30-something years ago, I think it was 30 or 35 years ago, God had filled me with the Holy Ghost right where I'm standing. And I said, that was an event I ain't never going for yet. Hallelujah. Come on, church, smile at me. Some of y'all may not have had them events, but they change your mind. But now, church, what it is not an event. It's a process that we get into that takes us farther and farther and farther. Amen. After every event, there has to be a process. I've not arrived because he saved me or filled me or blessed me. I'm there because he's taking me to a place he wants me to be. And until I get there, I can't let up. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Why are there so many of us that give up? Because it's not an easy process. Why is it almost every year we close churches? I mean, I'm on the council, and I know every year we're selling churches. Those who were showing me the other day, we got 18 churches that are in financial difficulty in the state of Alabama right now. And some of them we're going to have to close. We got no choice. They can't make it because they've given up. They got in the process. But in the process, they kept running into trouble. And trouble made them throw up their hands and quit. And can I tell you, that's what's going on with a lot of people in the church. You've been in the process, but you're not letting the process function. And because of that, you keep backing up and turning around and giving up and throwing up your hands. Can I tell you, that's one thing that's kept this church from being what God wanted it to be? It's because every time it got in the process and trouble came, everybody wanted to throw up their hands and quit. But it's not time to do that. It's time to understand it's a process, and if I hang on, there's a harvest at the end of the process. Could you say amen? Listen, the Spirit is the mind of God. Jesus is the face of God, but we are the hands of God. Hello? Isn't that the song you sing? Oh, to be your hands extended. If we sing that song, we ought to understand we're the hands. We got to be useful. Can I tell y'all something going to blow your mind? Do you know statistics prove that in the last 20 years, there is not one county in the entire United States of America that's seen steady growth in a Protestant church? Oh, well, preacher, I know churches started, wasn't running nothing, but they filled up with members from another church. We shifting members. We're not growing. Hello? Listen. Let me find this paper. I want to make sure I get it. According to the 2009 census, there's 192,500 people lives in Shelby County. Only 20% of them go to church. That's the national average. That's only 38,500 people. That tells me there's 150-some thousand people around us that's a harvest, that is white, it is ripe, it is ready for somebody who's going to go through the harvest to understand there's a world outside that's going down, and we need to get together. Come on, church. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? There is no shortage of sinners. There is no shortage of people to work with. There is shortage of laborers. The Bible said the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. There are a few people that are saying, let's get in the process. Let's go through it, because my loved ones are going to die and go to hell. My neighbors are going to die and go to hell. The whole world is losing it. But I think my God's going to win sooner or later. He's going to find somebody who will stand up with a word and say, I know that I know that I know my God is real. Hallelujah. The fastest growing movement in America is the sinner movement. And if it ain't sinners, it's anti-Christian. The fastest growing religious denomination in the world is Muslim. They have bought two of our churches in this state because we couldn't keep them going, and they built them up. If you go down Morgan Road, you'll pass a church, an independent church, that's now a Muslim mosque. Here in Birmingham, the former Shades Mountain Church of God is a Muslim mosque. They didn't want to sell it to them, but they knew how to operate. They offered them more money than they asked, so their choice was either sell it or don't ever sell the building, or you get sued. Hello? They did it on purpose. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? It's time for us to wake up. We're in a world that's falling apart. We've got drug addiction running all around us. And I'm going to tell you something, friend, about time we think we figured out how to stop one drug, they come up with another. And about time we think something gets too expensive, they find something that's real cheap. Do you realize they have now released that there are more people that are addicted to prescription drugs in the United States of America right now than any other time in the history of the world? And yet people are sitting around saying, oh, but we don't have a problem. We do have a problem. We've got a problem we need to deal with, and it's a problem of drugs that we need to take hold of. Amen. Come on, church, smile. Brother, come here a minute. Why don't you go up here and sit down? You're going to represent the drug addicts. You don't look like one, but I need a drug addict. Glory. Go up and sit down. Hallelujah. Teen sex and pregnancy on the rise. Save a life is being overrun. Planned Parenthood's having a field day. It is so bad that this past week, when Casey Anthony was found not guilty, they actually, people on TV said, well, it's not a problem the way the liberals deal with it. She just had a late abortion. It's become a joke. And our kids are out of control. We've got teenagers that are getting in all kind of trouble because of all kind of junk. They're getting on the internet and getting all kind of mess going on. Come on, church, smile at me. I don't care whether you like it or not. The truth's the truth. Some of y'all need to tag what your kids are doing and find out what it is. Ask my kids. They got on the internet. Daddy pulled it up the next day, see what they're doing, and I'd rack their hide if they went somewhere they didn't go. Had a niece come to my house, kept going to a flight, and I said, don't go there anymore. She went there again. I said, don't ever get on my computer again, period. Why? Because she's pulling up some junk. And our kids are doing this stuff, and we don't think much about it. But we've got a problem with the teenagers who are getting involved in sex and alcohol and things they don't need to get involved. Can you represent my teenagers? Yeah, you're close. Doesn't that look like a teenager knothead? Lord. He really appreciated that. Glory. Hey, yeah, y'all sit together. Amen. Hallelujah. Not only that, we got a problem in the church. Religious spirits. You know, those that have been in the church so long, they know everything. You know, and they so religious, they ain't no earthly good to nobody. Come on, church. Because they got religion, but they frown on everything that don't look like they think it ought to and do what they think it ought to. And can I tell you, Jesus wouldn't have nothing to do with them. Amen. I was talking to a group of guys one time, and they were giving me this junk, and I looked at them, I said, you know, the Bible describes y'all. It talked about scribes. That was the people that took notes in the temple. it talked about Sadducees. That's the dudes that didn't believe in the rapture, so they were Sadducees. They were Pharisees, and I said, those guys were highly educated. I said, you know, you guys don't fit none of them, so you got to be in that fourth category, hypocrites. I was real popular. Glory. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, that's where we are. And we've got people with a religious spirit that binds the church down where we can't reach out because they're too big time. Oh, well, we don't want them kind of people here. What kind do you want? Do you want just a bunch of people with a religious attitude who want to show up and talk about, well, we're doing wonderful when we ain't doing nothing? Come on, church. Amen. I got news for you. If you want this to be a sanctuary for saints, you need a new pastor, because I'm wanting to become a place for sinners to come and find a hope that is beyond hope and a peace that beyond all understanding. Because let me tell you something, friend, if there wasn't somewhere for sinners, you would have never found your way to the God you claim he only has a list for you. Glory. I need me a religious spirit. Glory. Brother Rodney, could you be my religious spirit? Hallelujah. I'm not even going to say you look like one, but you'll do. Glory. Amen. We've got a harvest in the church we don't ever tap. There is no telling how many people in this building right now that if I asked you, you've got children that's not living right. You've got brothers and sisters that's not living right. There are people in this community going to die and go to hell if we don't get in a process and do something. And because of that, we need to get them born again. We need to get them washed in the power of God. We need to get them moving in his glory. Could you say amen? Come here, child of pastor. You're going to be my child that ain't living right. Glory. I don't know where you're going if you don't straighten up. Just now, I did this as an illustration. I want them to stay there. But also, you know, there's a way to say this now. I'm talking to people and say, how's church yesterday? I said, it was so bad we had them sitting in the choir while I was preaching. Glory. Come on, church, smile. It's all the way you tell things. Amen. Drugs, sex, children doing, can't do anything because the government won't let us. You ever notice that? Well, brother, what are we going to do with the drug addicts? The cops won't do nothing. I ain't never read in the Bible where Jesus ever asked the authorities, would it all right if he come in and done something? I see him going Gadara. There's a man there that's demon-possessed. He cast the demons out, puts them in the hogs, and messed up religion for a whole year. And the religious folks said, you need to go. We can't even offer a sacrifice because those pigs was our sacrifice and you just put them all in the lake. And now we don't have a sacrifice for Ra. What kind of idiot are you? They didn't realize they didn't need Ra. They had God. They had Jesus. They had everything they needed. And we got folks that are so upset waiting on the government to do something. Can I tell you the government ain't going to do nothing? It's time the church got on its knees and began to pray, saying, God, save the drug addicts. Save the dealers. Get them in the house of God. It'll stir a community. Mobile, Alabama, Grace Assembly of God revival started on Sunday morning. A young lady came to the altar and got saved. Had no clue till that night when the chief deputy of Mobile County shows up and says, the sheriff's going to be here in a few minutes. And he walks in, sets down the back of the church, and the pastor looked up and said, what are y'all here for? He said, we wanted to see if she really got saved. It's what he's talking about. He said, that is the single number one drug dealer in West Mobile County. And you told us she got saved. We had to come out here and see for ourselves. And not only did she get saved, but five of her customers were there that night and got saved. By the end of the week, 25 of her customers had been born again. I heard later that almost 75 people she sold drugs to ended up in the altar of that church, born again, washed in the blood of Calvary. Because once she got turned around, she used the same influence to get them in church, saying, wait a minute, I got something better than I ever sold you. If you can find your way to the altar and let God in your life. Could you say amen? Church, this is our harvest, and we're letting the harvest go because we're not getting into the process. The process is the dove, the desert, the devil, and deliverance. So I said, preacher, what are you talking about? Notice what happened. Jesus gets baptized. And immediately a dove descends, and the anointing of God settles in his life. Hallelujah. Come on, church. He said, greater things ye shall do because I go to the Father, not because we be better than him, but because there'd be more of us anointed with the same anointing that put him in ministry. Come on, church. Amen. That anointing hits him and he comes up out of that water. He's in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, we've messed up in the church of God. We are Pentecostal, but for some reason we've gotten afraid of being who we are. We're so afraid we're going to run somebody off. We don't need the anointing, honey. If we've ever needed it, we need it right now. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. Look, Jesus said, behold, I give to you power. It's in Luke 10:19. To tread over serpents and scorpions and over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I'm giving you power. If we've ever needed anything, we need that to help break the yoke of bondage and to set the captive free. That's what the Bible says the anointing can do. Amen. Acts 1:8, he said, then you shall receive power, and then you'll be witnesses of me into Judea, Samaria, and to uttermost part of the world. Can I tell you, that's what we need? We need to quit worrying about folks in Honduras. I believe in missions, but we got missions right here. Do you realize America is the third largest mission field in the world, and folks are dying and going to hell around us because we're worried about a process? Well, preacher, if we get the Holy Ghost moving, folks will leave. No, it will not. I have never seen people run from a fire. The bigger the fire, the more the crowd comes. It is time we realize we need that anointing. We need that power. We need that touch of the power of grace of God. Come on, church. It won't run people off. It'll draw them. Lord, if anybody's going to leave, Buell would have run you out. I remember going to church where they'd almost put you in a back room if you didn't shout and pray you through. They thought you was dead. Hello? I remember a guy coming to me one night and said, you preaching? I said, yeah, why? Because see, at Buell, if I showed up in a suit, they knew I was preaching. If I showed up in blue jeans, they knew I was just there. He shows up on a Wednesday night with a fiance and horror hit. He said, all they need is you to spark them. She ain't never been in a Pentecostal service. You'll scare her to death. I went, I'll hold it down. I'm hanging on the pulpit. I ain't moving. I'm boring myself to death. You look at your watch, that's one thing. When I start looking at mine, tapping it, we're all in trouble. And I'm standing there, man, I ain't paying no attention. I'm just getting into it the best I can. And I was doing good. Till this old boy run up on the pulpit and run up behind me, slap me on the arm and say, whoa, I believe we can have church if you just let go. I reached up and undone my tie and pulled it down. I looked in the back and this old boy's going, oh. Brother Edward Chanel, 6'6" or 7", about 350. Run moonshine for years, got saved and became Sunday school superintendent and filled the house up because they wasn't sure he was right, and they'd come when he told them they need to be there because they're scared of him. Hello? Didn't matter. He got them to church. But that dude never showed up. He didn't want to have church. And all of a sudden, he jumped up and he said, hallelujah, I didn't show up to bun through this thing. Boy, let's go with it. And the Holy Ghost just kind of saturated the place. And some folks got to shouting and praising God. You just had to understand how shouting and praising God was at Buell. Sister Belle Highsaw could put out a scream that would curl the coon's hair down in the swamp. And she's over there going, wah! Miss Anna stands up and starts, woo! Now, church, listen, Miss Anna was a type lady. If she ever moved, you knew it was God. That was all you need to see, because this lady prayed every day in the well house outside her house. And I can remember as a sinner going by and hearing her all the way down the road calling my name out. Hello? This is the woman prays hard. One night her sinner husband left his coon dogs in the swamp and went home and got saved. And she'd jump up and go at it, and the next thing you know, the Holy Ghost hit, and I just took off. I figure it's the best thing to do. Suddenly I come to myself, I got one foot over a pew, I got a head full of hair, and I'm going, ah, God! You will never guess who I picked out of 100-something people to grab a head full of hair of. It's this girl ain't never been in Pentecost in her life. She's got that boy's fingers so white, she's squeezing back, got them all cut off. I'm standing, I went, ooh. I just went walking off, and about that time I heard somebody squeal, and I turned and looked, and that girl's running straight at me. Only thing is, she turned and went toward the front of the building, fell on the altar, started repenting. I think she repented some stuff he didn't need to hear. Glory. But, you know, they ended up married. She's in the church of God. She's filled with the Holy Ghost. It did not run her off. And can I tell you, that's where we need to be in the church. We don't need to be afraid of the dove. It is the dove that's going to help us make it. Could you say amen? Glory. But notice this. Once he got the dove, notice what happened. It said immediately, being full of the Holy Ghost, he returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, into the desert. If there's a dove experience, there's always going to be a desert. Do you realize that more preachers commit suicide the day after Easter than any other time of the year? Easter's the number one day in the church. And they are so distraught after that that they can't handle it. And more preachers, almost 60% of the preachers who commit suicide, will do it the day after Easter. Why? Because they go through that experience and all of a sudden there's the desert and they just can't handle it anymore. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, Matthew 12:43 will tell you what's there in the desert. It said in Jesus, and when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. It's in the desert that we have to prove who we are. It is in the desert that we find out who we're searching for. Come on, church. Hallelujah. So I said, what are you talking about? Anybody can live in a shout and have the doodads on their back. But when you get in that desert and it's dry and it looks like nobody's there and you feel like God doesn't hear anything you got to say and nobody cares about what's going on in your life, you need to realize that's when you can prove to God, this is how much I love you. I don't have to have doodads. I don't have to have goosebumps. I don't have to have a shout. All I got to know is I know that I'm born again and washed in the blood of Calvary. And if you're doing what you need to do in the desert, you can find others that are there that need help and help them saying, wait a minute, we can get through this. Well, preacher, you believe that? Listen, Isaiah chapter 32. For until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field, and the work of the righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of the righteousness quietness in the assurance forever. There's a dove, there's a desert. Here's the problem. We got too many people getting a dove, and they get in the desert, and they lose it, and they give up, and they're running back over for some dove. We got some folks that ain't done nothing but bounce between the dove to the desert, from the dove to the desert. Every other week, it's a catastrophe. Every little thing that happens, a drama. They can't get past it because they're too busy looking at the mirror and saying, oh, this is me, oh, poor pitiful me. But the truth of the matter is, while you're running from the dove to the desert, the harvest is setting out with nothing going on, and they're dying and going to hell while you're running between the dove and the desert. Well, I didn't figure this was going to make some of you shout, but it's the truth. Amen. Desert's a place that I have to go through for the harvest. It's impossible to miss this experience. But notice this. It gets better. Because just as soon as he's in that wilderness for 40 days, hadn't eaten anything because he's fasting, here comes the devil. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil's roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto the eternal glory of Jesus Christ, and after that you suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever. What did he say? He said, once you suffer a little while, he'll pull you out and do something with you. But you got to hold on. You got to take the best shot the devil's got, look him in the eye and say, let's try it one more time. Come on, church. You ever heard this? Well, since I've been saved, I've prayed up so bad the devil don't fool with me. You ever notice deer hunters, they love their heads, don't they? I got a friend that's got a 25-point head in his den. You go down there, it's 25 points. He didn't shoot it, but it was shot on his property. Right beside it, got a couple of 15s. Big, nice racks. He loves everybody to see them. He loves to hunt. He'll go out by this time of the year. He's already going out and checking areas, see where the deer are going to be. He'll plant a field to get them used to coming through there to eat, because deer are habitual. If they ever start roaming through an area, they'll keep roaming through that area. So it's very easy to get them where you can figure out where you're going to have to find them. And he's out there planting. He'll put out salt licks to get them passing through to lick the salt, so he'll know where he can find them when hunting season comes in. And when hunting season comes in, he gets his guns ready. He gets his arrows ready. He gets all ready, and he goes to mutilating deer every year. You ever noticed he never puts out a camera to see if he can get a picture of one of them heads he's already got on his trophy case? He never has to worry about if his gun's going to shoot, because he's already got them. Some of y'all missed that because you're sitting there going, what are you talking about? There might be a reason why you ain't being tempted. There might be a reason why the devil ain't attacking you. It might be that you're so busy with the dove in the desert, he ain't got to worry about you because he's got you. Because he ain't got to fight with you, because you're not a problem to him. He came to Jesus because he understood he's made it this far through the desert. He gets out of here, he's going to be a problem for me, and I've got to find a way to come against him. Come on, church. Amen. Can y'all give me just a couple more minutes? I know it's 12, but you're in a desert, and I got to get you out. Listen, the strategy Satan used against Jesus, first of all, was physical. He's been fasting for 40 days. You ever heard somebody don't know a clue about what they talk about trying to impress you? Yeah, I went on a fast. I said, spiritual, I didn't get hungry. You ain't never been on no fast if you didn't get hungry. You might have been on a feast. I used to have one guy tell me, said, yeah, as long as I leave off my favorite thing, I can eat everything else. I could fast like that. I remember one time I was fasting. I used to have people get on to me and say, you ought not fast during revival. I preached 250 sometimes a year, 40-something weeks out of the year. If I didn't fast while I was in revival, I would have never fasted. And I fasted into this time, and actually I closed out the revival. I fasted for a couple of days, made it through the weekend, and for some reason in my mind, I felt like I needed to keep fasting. This was early ministry. I made it to Sunday, and we had church Sunday morning and Sunday night. By this time, I'm beginning to have a problem because my energy level has dropped greatly. Pastor gets up, and he said, folks, I know we're going into next week. We're looking for a move of God. I believe if we'll fast. Back then, I was young and dumb and didn't understand. I could tell him I'd already been fasting, so I thought because he called a fast, I had to keep fasting. His wife got up the next morning, cooked bacon and eggs for them kids, and I smelt it and started wanting to chew on the wall, because she didn't fix my bacon and eggs for the kids, because we was fasting. She cooked their supper. I went on to the church just so I could survive. I made it through Monday night, and I'm about to pass out after church, and all I can think is the closest place I can find to find food, I'm finna go get in trouble. And he gets up and said, I really believe we can make it another day. God's gonna break this thing out. The next afternoon, I'd had all I could stand. I walked downtown from his house. I found an old malt shop in a drugstore. I told that guy, I said, I want a double thick chocolate shake and break two eggs in it. He mixed that baby up and I drank it. I went to church that night. We tore that place up. That pastor jumped up and he said, well, I believe our fasting's done it. And I didn't have the heart to tell him it was that chocolate shake I'd had that afternoon that kind of got me back over the hump. Glory. Hello? Jesus is at a point he hadn't eaten, and he attacks him physically. He said, hey, you're so hungry. Turn the stones to bread. You can do that. Just speak to them, and they'll become biscuits. And Jesus said, but you don't eat nothing but every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. Notice this. Then he tempts him with worship. He shows him all the worlds in a moment's time. He said, okay, if you will worship me, I'll give it to you. Number one, how stupid are you to offer to give somebody something that's already theirs? Huh? Here's the guy that put the pea in the pod, the corn on the cob, made the water run over Niagara Falls, and this idiot's going, I give it all to you. Jesus said, look at him and said, ain't yours to give. He said, just worship me. Jesus says, but thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Can I tell you one of the biggest problems we got in the church world today is people being stupid enough to argue over worship? Don't look at me like some of y'all looking at me, because I'm saying exactly what I said. I am sick of people telling me, I don't like that song. I don't like this song. I don't like that way. I don't like the way they do that. I got news for you. If they worshiping God, who cares? Oh, and I know I'm making some of you mad, but you need to get happy. Glory. Y'all run out of time. Oh, what we need. No, what we need is to worship God and quit worrying about how we're doing it and lift him up. And when we do, we might see somebody in the house of God getting born again and watch. You might ought to go crank my car. I don't like bluegrass music, but there's a group out of Arkansas that I can worship with, because I know they're real and they worship God with their music. Come on, church. I've traveled all over. I've been in every kind of worship service you want to. Man, I was in Romania. They sent me to a church. You know what they said? Said, this will be the hardest church to preach at. We want you to go there. And I'm thinking, well, ain't this wonderful? Glory. It's not just hard enough. They don't understand a thing I'm saying without an interpreter. And I'm not sure he's saying what I say. I got to go to a church it's hard to preach at anyway. Because everything is done orthodoxed. They got their music and all. I go to this church, and they're singing praise and worship songs. They're not orthodoxed. They're over there dancing and shouting and praising God. And I'm sitting there and I bumped. Tom George was with me. He can tell you. I bumped him. I said, my God, we've gone to heaven. Glory. He looked at me and said, what are you talking about? I said, I ain't felt nothing all week. He said, when we preach, I said, these folks are getting down. I said, we're going to have church tonight. Amen. I didn't even know the songs. I was just over there with them. I could tell what they're singing. I don't know Romanian. I was just over there singing songs that fit. You don't think I can do that? Ask Frida. I'm at camp meeting one night. They're singing a song, and I'm singing a song. She grabbed my coat. She said, would you shush? I said, what are you talking about? I'm worshiping. She said, sing the same song everybody else is then. Glory. I didn't care. I'm having church. I'm worshiping. That's what it's all about. Some of y'all need to get over your mad spell you got with me right now and realize it's the truth. The devil wants us to stop worshiping no matter what, because if he can stop our worship of God, he stops our anointing. Oh. Woo. Last strategy. The devil used the word. He carried him to the temple and he said, okay, it's written. Jump. Because the angels are giving charge over you. See, some of y'all don't think the devil knows the word. He knows it better than you do. He was there when some of it was being thought about. He could quote it from front to back, sideways and upside down, and he can twist it to mess you up. Come on, church. Notice what Jesus said. Said it might be written, but it also says, tempt not the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. So now we've got the dove, and we've got the desert. Now we got the devil, and we've got people to get the dove. And then they run over here in the desert, and they make it out to the devil to get hit. Oh, they got to go back over here. But the whole time we're running back and forth, where's the harvest? It's still sitting there waiting on somebody to get through. You say, what are you talking about? Notice what happened. Once he got past the dove, once he got past the desert, once he got over the devil, the Bible said the devil withdrew for a season, and suddenly fame for him began to run. Why? Because suddenly everybody knew, this is a man. This is a man anointed. And deliverance began to happen. Blinded eyes got opened. Wounded eyes got opened. Hearts got healed. Ministry began to happen. Can I tell you, if we'll ever make it through the process, there is nothing my God cannot do. There is nobody my God cannot save. Oh! He suddenly found deliverance. Well, preacher, that's good, but that's just one thing. Notice something. He left for a season, and then the devil slips back in, and he's got to go back for a refreshing, and he has to go for a re-anointing. Hello? Well, preacher, you talking about building a church. You just all into numbers. No, I'm in souls. The more numbers you got, the more souls you got to be winning. I don't want no mega church. Then you even want to belong to the first church. First church had 3,000 members on the first day. Huh? Whew. Notice this. Jesus is the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up to the high mountain apart. and is transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as light. There's the dove. Matthew chapter 26. Then Jesus come unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. He wrestles in that garden because it's like a desert to him. He gets so messed up, his sweat became his blood. Matthew 27:46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried aloud, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You got the dove. Revelation chapter 1, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and amen, I have the keys of hell and death. What are you talking about? All of a sudden he comes out of that grave with deliverance. He comes out of that grave and sets man free forever and forever. Could you say amen to that, church? Praise God. You're talking about, what are you getting at? We need to go through the process, not only as individuals, but as a corporate body. The church needs to understand there's going to be anointings, but there's also going to be deserts. There's also going to be times when the devil's going to do everything he can to tear a church apart, but if we make it through, there's a harvest on the other side, and the power of God can reach them, and then we can bring them to the dove, help them through the desert, walk them past the devil, and have deliverance again through the power of Almighty God. Deuteronomy 32. Oh, that they were wise and they understood that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except the rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? Listen, church, one person could chase 1,000, but what happens if you chase somebody? You're going right where they go. But if you put them to flight, you stand still and say, get. Hallelujah. I'm not chasing devils. I'm just going to put them to flight. I just need somebody to say, I'm going to help you do it. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? If we pray hard enough, we can break the bondage of the people. We can break the bondage of our loved ones. We can see the captive set free. We can see the power of God move. But it's going to take us as a church saying, wait a minute. It is not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. And I'm going to get in unity in the power of God and see God begin to move. Could you say amen? Stand with me all over the house. Father in heaven, we thank you now for your love, for your mercy. God, we believe you for your power. Holy Spirit of God, flow on us today with your grace, with your love, with your anointing. Father, in Jesus' name, have your way. In Jesus' name.